All right, God is good. God is good. Okay, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Can I borrow one of these? Can I have this one? Okay. Isaiah 6. I hope you're reading along. I know you're not, but I hope you are.
I am.
Okay.
Too.
I hope you're reading along like Chad is. Because I want you to meditate. You know, I don't sit down and think what I'm going to preach on. It's the Holy Spirit. And he has a reason why we should be in this book and what we should learn from it. And so if you have a background knowledge of what's going on, you can apply it to your own life and to today. It's not just for history. We're not trying to learn anything about history or general principles. We're trying to understand how this applies to our own lives today at the end of time, at the end of history. All right, let's look at chapter 6, Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died. So, King Uzziah was one of the longest reigning kings, over 50 years. That he reigned, he ruled that long. And the prophet Isaiah lives during four different kings. This is the first one. So this long reign of Isaiah, King Uzziah over 50 years, his last few years were horrible. He was actually a good king. But he messed up at the end. And what he did wrong was to unite church and state. He was the king, and he felt he had a right to walk into the courts of God's house and take over. And so one day he emboldened himself because he had done so well and God had blessed him so much that he just decided that the church was subordinate to the king. And that even though God had separated the two, he decided to unite them under him. And that he could go in and burn incense. He could go in and do the priestly role. Now, as a church officer, I don't carry a gun. I don't have a sword. I don't use any of the weapons of this world to force anybody to do anything. All I have is my mouth. All I can do is share the truth of God's word. That's it. And there are ways of tricking people with words. I'll never do it. I'm not into that. So I don't have any desire to manipulate people through words, and I certainly have no force to back up any of the words I say. So when you tell someone the truth and you don't trick them, they actually don't like that. They like to be tricked. They actually like to be enslaved or tricked so that they just say, well, you said, and that excuses them from sin. Well, you told me. Well, that's what, you know, you wanted us to do that or whatever. And no, everything you do is your own decision, your own choice, your own freedom. And the reason why people don't like that is because they don't like to make decisions because it could be wrong. As a matter of fact, you will be wrong. If you make a decision, you'll definitely get in trouble. Even though you're Christian, even though you're Jewish, you know, even though you're religious, you're still going to mess up. Because what we believe is not always what we do. We believe bigger than what we do. And even though once in a while you will line up with God, a whole bunch of the time you're just going to do your own thing. Self-love is stronger than other people love. Loving other people as you love yourself is a goal, but it's not a reality. But most people know that's what the Bible saith. Love others as you loved yourself. Well, I have no problem loving myself, but loving others, you know. So God knows that, and it's not up to you to clean yourself up or fix yourself. It's just a matter of faith. You either believe God is God or you don't. Nobody can talk you into it. No one can make you holy. Only God. Only God can do that. And he will not force either. He weakens himself by not having you under a law. He lets you go free. So you're able to make the dumbest decisions, the wickedest actions. He lets you. He'll just tell you, don't do it. But he won't spank you. He may chasten you a bit, but it's usually with words rather than circumstances. The circumstances come from our decisions. You don't want to know this, but you're unhappy because of your own decisions. You're not unhappy because God made you unhappy. Or the devil. He didn't make you unhappy either. Now, it's true that the devil tries to persuade you with lies, manipulate you, trick you. That's his job. It's okay that he does that. I mean, God allows it. And God could stop the devil anytime he wants to. It's his devil. If God wanted to, and by the way, in a certain time, he will stop the devil. And that's the end of the devil. But God doesn't stop. One-third of the devil, you know, one-third of the angels became demonic. And now they're part of the demonic kingdom. So their whole kingdom is full of idolatry, immorality, and injustice on earth. So as much as they're able to get a hold of kings and chain them, I put a little chain on the devil there, so that Satan actually can put idolatry into a nation and then immorality into the people and then injustice in the political arena. That's why you have what you have today. It doesn't come from Christianity. It comes from a perversion of Christianity, which is idolatry, or just open, flat, worshiping nature or some other thing, as some of our presidential candidates and other, you know, mayors and so on. Today, Christianity is no longer the dominant religion, or even if it were nominally, it's certainly not in reality. And particularly the young people today, they have no religion, or they have a satanic religion, or they're part of the New Age, or whatever. But they're not church-going because their parents were on drugs. And so the generation that today has come forth, I mean, there's an underground movement of young people. It's powerful. But it's an underground movement. And we're no longer a Christian nation, therefore you're not really a nation. You're nothing. You're completely vulnerable to the absurdity and surrealism of what's going on today in your society. And the churches are the worst. The churches are the cause. The churches, the good ones, not the bad ones, but the good ones are the cause of the problem. Because if the pastors are not faithful to God because they don't want to suffer, then they come under the rule of the state. So Satan controls the rulers who control the harlot church, and then the true church is all that's left, and that's us. That was meant to be a joke. we're the good guys. It's good to know that. It's good to know we're the good guys. That's why we're so small. And I'm not going to do anything about it. I don't want to. I don't want to trick anybody. I just do what Jesus tells me to do, and so on. That's it. And but here's the deal. We win. We're going to win.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference how many there are against us. Remember that he sends us into the world as sheep among wolves. Okay? As light in the darkness. As, you know. So we're nothing. And the wolves, imagine the wolves could eat us up. Because he sends us in. Now go ahead. He sends us in with no care at all that there's wolves everywhere that we go. In fact, he sends us deliberately into the wolf world. Behold, I send you as sheep among wolves. How many feel the wolves? You can feel their breath, their drooling, you know, to devour you. I'm serious. I mean, this is not a joke or a poet thing. You're really, and this has been the way from the beginning. He's always done that. He's always put his people as light in a dark world, as truth among lies, and so on. He always sends you in there to be leaven for the lump, and so on and so forth. And knowing that his own people could pervert, they could turn away, they could apostatize. And, of course, many have. The harlot church is the apostasy of the true church. So here's the little true church, the bigger harlot church, and then the whole world, and then Satan has a great deal, but God's over all of it. So this King Uzziah had leprosy because he came into the house of the Lord, and Azariah the high priest withstood him and said, "Whoa, what are you doing? You can't come in here. You're out there on the throne. You're under God's left hand. We're under his right hand." So here's God's left hand of judgment, Mishpatim. The judgments of God fall upon Satan and the world that is satanic and not submitted to God, and the church that won't be submitted to God. You know, God's against all that. So he has judgments that fall on them. But how many know that those are later? His first judgment falls on his own bride. I mean, the first thing he's concerned about is not getting rid of Satan or getting the political thing sorted out or even making the liberal church conservative or something. He's not even interested in them. He's going to get to them later. But the first thing is to make sure the bridal church stays bridal. And that's why we're small. And it will always be small until God wants to do something about it. Or maybe not. And I don't care. I'm not going to change that. But God is only trying to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. You know, he just wants some. and he swore that there would be some. I will build my church, no matter how small or how big it is, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So here are the gates of hell up here, and their gates, I should draw a gate on there, their gates actually can't stop us. Their gates are vulnerable for the whole rest of the world, but their gates can't prevent us from breaking them down. They got little bars on the back. Don't come in, don't come in. But we continue. And, you know, just like I fell off the roof and didn't die, there's no way to stop God. If he wants to do anything he wants to do, he can do it. And so this King Uzziah came in with his sword into the church and said, "I'm taking over." And so Azariah stopped him, and then 80 priests came to his defense and also said, "You can't come in here." But the king, having his sword, and they didn't have swords. All they have is Bibles and prayer and so on. They don't have anything. They're like, "Don't." He just mows them down. So the king was wroth with them. He was so angry at them as, "Don't you dare try to stop me. I'm the IRS. I'm the mayor. I'm the governor. I'm the president. I'm the Congress. You know, whatever. I represent power. Y'all don't have anything. You're just weak." How many know that when you're weak, you're strong? Now, the problem with the church today is it's strong. The big churches are very strong. They're part of the world. And they stay that way because they refuse to suffer. One of the reasons why they can be big is because they don't want to suffer and tell the truth and be persecuted. Anybody who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Now, you can tell that's not going to build, that is not going to be appealing to harlots or to beasts. This is not going to be appealing. So, I determined long ago to die for the faith. I determined long ago that I don't have any stake in this world. Forget the whole world. Forget the church. Forget being liked. Forget all of that. And just serve God. And I'm happy. But I'm also persecuted, but I don't care about it. So you have to be able to blow persecution off and suffering off and not care what people think. But if you're a people pleaser, as successful ministers are, then, you know, you have the whole world, but you come under the judgment of God someday, which they don't believe in, so they're not nervous right now. But believe me, I'm telling you the truth, and probably in our own day, you're going to see God roll up his sleeves, come downstairs, and then there'll be a change. And so I'm only looking for that day when God delivers us. Right? And I don't really care if he does. I mean, I don't have any stake in making him do it. Where would I take him to court? You know, I can't. So I just go ahead knowing I can be slaughtered. How many know that we are like sheep for the slaughter? You know, just we can be slaughtered any day. And you have to be happy, too. I don't know if I mentioned that. That while you're suffering, you actually can't run away. You have to stay there and take it. But I've had good experience with Peggy in the kitchen. I just stay in the kitchen when she's yelling and screaming. I don't want to move. I just let her talk it out. Say whatever you want to say, you know, whatever. It's okay. And Peggy has learned over the years to be more and more bold because I've given her, Peg, just say what you want to say. So she does. She just says and so on. And though she's nice to everybody else, she's not nice at home. You know, she can be vicious and mean. And I love it. I love it. I welcome it. Do it. Do it. It's okay. Be yourself. Don't worry about pleasing people out there. But what you preach, you have to live. You have to live what you preach. And I don't believe you force. So she can force, but I'm not going to force. I'm not going to force her not to force me. You see what I'm saying? Or whatever else. Now, she's the perfect wife. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just simply saying everybody has to be a person. And if you're in love with Jesus, you're in love with Jesus. But if you're not, you're not. And so you just have to, everybody has to make their own decision. How you want to live. And most people do not want to make that decision. They want to kind of be lukewarm somewhere in the middle. A little bit of the world and a little bit of the kingdom and mostly them in charge. And that way you really can't get in any trouble. Unless there's a God. Now, if there's a real God, you are in trouble. Because he said, I wish that you were hot or cold. But I hate it that you're in the middle, kind of lukewarmish. You know, you're neither for me nor against me. You're neither for the world nor against the world. You know, that's a lie. God calls that a lie. And he said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And as soon as you think you're fooling God by being legalistic or hypocritical or, you know, like you can love God with most of your heart, but not all of it. Wrong. You have to go all the way or nothing. It's to the death. So you can see the way I preach is not good. But still, that's the way I'm going to keep preaching. That I love this message. It's so great. But you have to pay. You have to be ready to be crucified. But yeah, I do that every morning in the closet. I'm going to say that again. I practice dying every morning in the closet. The first thing when I go into God's presence is I try to crucify him, and if not, then he crucifies me. And so far, he's won every time. My little stabs don't work on him because he's spiritual. Do y'all see what I'm saying? And that's my flesh doing that, not my spirit. But I usually wake up in the morning and my spirit is right there. Woo! This could be your day. You know, and so my spirit man, you know, hatred, bitterness, jealousy, and so on. That comes up all the time. Does anybody else have that? Pride, lust, anger, bitterness, and so on. It just comes up naturally, and you can kind of wake up with it. How many have fear in the morning? You know, or worry, or self-pity, or anger, or bitterness, or, you know, whatever. And so every day you have to decide, no. We're rejoicing today. ha ha ha. So you have to make that decision every day to walk by faith in His Word or not. And so you can see why a lot of people are not more comfortable here, because there's no challenge to this guy here. They're more afraid of the devil than they are of God, because God's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So this King Uzziah came in, and he was determined. He had a little censer in his hand. He had a sword at his side, but he had a censer in his hand. And it's kind of like, look, I'm coming in whether you like it or not. And I don't care what you say. You priests don't bother me. And so get out of my way right now. And all of a sudden, they determined, there was 81 of them now, the Azariah the high priest, plus 80 buddies. So they're all there trying to prevent this guy from going to the altar, because he was just about there. He's walking right in. And God had said, there are certain things that pertain to the church, which is His kingdom, His redeemed people, on the right hand over here. There are certain things that belong here that don't belong up here. These are not supposed to be the same. Here they don't care. Here the church and the state are united. But here, separated. But we're not only separated from him, the beast, we're also separated from her, the harlot. Come out from the midst of her, my people. Revelation 18:4. Come out. In other words, come out of the world. That's the world. Here's the world right here. And come out of the false church. Both. So we have to come out of everything. And us, we have to be totally separate to God, because we're His bride. We're His girl. We're totally His. And he can will a thing, and then we all will what He wills. He can say a thing, we all say what He says. He can do a thing, we all do what He does. And so that's our role. And He set us aside and saying, though the rest of the world turns against me, y'all won't. Woohoo! Isn't that exciting? Who would like to say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so, you know, we're already in love. I'm sorry, you know, once you fall in love, you fall in love. I didn't like the other guy. I used to serve the other guy. I used to be in the other guy's kingdom. I just didn't like the other guy. He never did keep his promises. You know, he said, if you do this, then you'll be happy. I did it, and I wasn't. And so, you know, he just lied to me. And so the world is out there raging and doing whatever it does, but I gave up that. I gave it up. I don't believe in the world anymore. I don't believe the world has anything for me. Having a reputation, being liked, having, you know, money, you know, being worshipped by other people, that's all nonsense. How many know that's all nonsense? How many have given up control of your husband, your wife, your children, your world around you? Just give up. Just leave it. Why? Let Jesus take care of it. So I never work on relationships or anything. There's no point in it. If it's given to you by God, then it'll be there. If it's not, then you can't keep it. So whatever comes, it's good. I'm not checking it out. If it's on my side, praise the Lord. If it's not, praise the Lord. Same to me. Why? I just trust God. How many know that all things work together for the good? All things work together for the good. How many know it doesn't look that way? I mean, that's a faith statement. All things work together for the good. That's cute, but the truth is, it doesn't look like that at all. It looks like they don't. It looks like the devil's winning and God is losing. And God loves that. I don't know if you've read the Bible ever, but it's got stories of how God always loses, but somehow always ends up winning. But he always takes the lowest position. He always lets everybody do what they want to do as though they're winning, and then at the last minute he pulls the rug on them. I love that. So I'm on his side, because I know he's going to win. So I've already determined that I don't have to see any of the victories. I just know I'm doing great. I'm just doing awesome. Everything's going my way. Is anybody else here like that? I don't see it. I just believe it. Blessed is he who believes without seeing. I don't see it. And apparently that pleases him. He said, Jim, why are you smiling? Everything's going my way. And it is not. It's not. Everything is not going my way at all. If I had my way, I'd have this whole city gathered here. I would. And there's things I could do to do that. I can't do any of those things. You know, I could be on television easily. I could be on radio easily. I could write books easily. I could do a lot of things, have in the best bands, bring in, you know, meet with all the other ministers. There's a whole bunch of things you can do to get ahead. I'm not doing any of them. I'm doing everything you're not supposed to do, which is just fall in love with Jesus. Woo! That's so simple. I mean, no, are you in love with Jesus? That's all that matters. I believe Jesus has forgiven my sins, and I believe the Holy Spirit is changing me from day to day, and that's it. And He'll get me perfect, and I just believe all that. Once you believe that, you're in the winner's team, but you're not going to see it. You're not going to see that in this world. Does anybody notice that? It's not going to look that way. But it's well worth it. I mean, I want to quit a lot. I tell them, God, okay, I'm quitting. Your team is losing too many. You know, the other team is doing good. I'll join the other team. Then I'll switch back later. He goes, you know, Jim, don't do that. Just stay with me. I'll tell you when to quit. Don't quit yet. Just get back in there. Yeah, but it's not working out. Just get back in there. Stop trying to think things out. Give me your mind. Give me your will. Give me your emotions. Stop being God. Thank you. Appreciate it. So I'm just doing what Jesus says, and I have no power anymore. I have no control. I can't use my reason anymore. I can't use my emotions. I can't trick people and manipulate. And I know how. I know how by street knowledge as a kid, and I got all the learning. I got weapons galore. But He says, no, don't use them. The weapons I want you to use are, you know, peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. He got different ways, and He just wants me to do it that way, and I'm doing it. I'm going to do it because I don't believe in Jim anymore. He's dead. We killed that guy off a long time ago. How many are already dead to this world? You're dead. How many are dying? You know, you're not quite dead, but you're dying. How many have thought about dying? You wanted to, but you're not ready yet. Okay, fine. So here's this king, and this king is standing there, and all of a sudden it says his wrath, and this is happening today in your government, by the way, was so fierce that it just rose right up, and the guy turned red with rage. And what happened was he became a leper in that moment when they said these words, King, it's not good what you're doing. It doesn't pertain to you, spiritual things, religious things. You know, don't you come in on this. Yours is just this world. This is heavenly stuff. So don't mess with my kingdom with my spiritual bride. Just don't. Don't touch her. She's my girl. I don't want you touching her. And so the king said, fully on that, I'm always, you know, serving God. I've done it so many times. I'm gonna go against the Constitution. I'm gonna go against the laws. I'm just gonna do what I want to do. I've always wanted to take the money the church has. I've always wanted to just grab all their stuff, and I'm doing it. So, it's great because the harlot actually winked before the beast decided to take her. The harlot actually led the way to say, let's ask the king for a few benefits, because you know how slow God is, and get some benefits from him. Let's get a 501c3 for our tax contributions. Let's get a local tax exemption on our properties. Let's get a state incorporation so that we'll be recognized as official. And let's get those things from the government. Because how many know God doesn't supply all of our needs, according to his riches and glory? So the government supplies some of them. And so let's just get it. And it's, how can it hurt anything? What's wrong with having a little favor in this world? God says, don't. He said that the arm of flesh can't help you. He said, don't turn to man. Just do it the way I tell you. Yeah, but your way's hard. They're making it easy. They're making it easy. They're smoothing the way. And so let's just go with them, have no problems, not suffer. Huh, huh, huh. Remember how Satan told Jesus, hey, look, you want the crown without the cross? Tell you what, just bow down and worship me. I'll give it to you. I'll stop my whole kingdom, and I'll just let you do it. All you got to do is subordinate yourself to me. And don't even mean it. I know you really trust God, but just be a hypocrite about it. Just be a hypocrite about it. It isn't even from your heart. I know that. It's okay. Just bow down and just do it like a hypocrite. It's good enough for me. I'll give you the whole kingdom. So how many know that as a Christian, you can actually sell your soul cheap and still, you know, keep your heart? And what's a little loss for all the gain you could get? And so many people take the easy way. Rather than go with Jesus, anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Who wants that? I mean, your own family won't even like you. Who likes that? How many know that even in the church you'll be persecuted? You'll be betrayed right there. Isn't that exciting? Who is going to betray me? It's exciting. You all see this? And they're coming. Do you know where Pastor Jim is? We're not supposed to tell. Yeah, but if you don't, I'm going to hurt you. Okay, he's right over there. He's over there. He's over there. He's praying in the corner, that guy over there. Ah, so it's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you for doing that. Don't worry about it. So sin away. But it's not a good idea. It's better you just leave God be God. Because he has everything timed. Everything is going to come out just the way he wants at the last minute. The banquet will be good. The marriage supper is going to take place. And he's got it all rigged. So this king got leprosy on the spot. As soon as he defied God and was determined to mow the priest down and to take over all things. I mean, the government wants to be a despot, a tyrant. Unlimited power. They don't want to be told by anybody. They don't want anybody free except them. So your rulers are already in Texas, in the nation. Your rulers are already determined just to get everything that they want. And they're just going amok. They're just, you know, spending like mad, and then who cares? Take all the people's savings, take their liberties, take their lives, take everything. Do you all see what I'm saying? Life, liberty, property. They're all guaranteed to you by a piece of paper, but it's just a piece of paper. And so, you know, we've changed now. We're no longer silly like we were when the founding fathers set the thing up. We're now smarter and stronger, and we got data on all of you, and we're coming after you. And so the last holdout would be the church. There's freedom in the church, religious liberty. It's guaranteed, protected. You can't get it. It's constitutional, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're taking it. And so, in fact, if you say, well, I don't want to be a harlot church, they won't let you exist. You have to be a harlot church. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, we're going to treat you like you did. Well, wait a minute. You can't define me. Okay, I am. Well, the law says you can't. Who cares about the law? And so today we are lawless. I don't know if you read in the Bible where it says the lawless one. In the last days, the Antichrist is called the lawless one. In other words, he has lots of laws, but they're not over him. Because he sits on his throne, and he just makes up his own laws, all related to his own. He's a pharaoh. He's a king. He's an emperor. He's great. And so this king got leprosy, and he had then to leave the throne, because in leprosy, it's contagious. It'll get on everybody. And so he had to live in what's in the Bible they call it a several house. In other words, he had to go to a leprosy colony place where he was all by himself so they didn't get anybody infected. And that was a judgment of God. Don't you love that story? That here this king did wrong and then he got leprosy. I love it. I love it. What a great story, but it's just a story. It's just a story. I mean, I can think of a few politicians that should be there. I've even prayed for that. Oh, God, you know, give leprosy to so-and-so, you know. But God is really not interested in that unless it would disturb his program. So when he sees his bride and she cries out, help, when she cries out, then God listens. Ah, my bride is crying out. Ah, is she crying out for her own sake? No, for my sake. Now, if you cry out only because you don't want to suffer, God doesn't listen. But if you cry out and say, God, you swore an oath, you can't lie, I'm working to protect you, but if you don't want to be protected, well, that's your problem. but I would just remind you of what you promised. You're about to go under and so on, and I'm not saving. I'm not going to grab a hold of the box. I remember the last time they tried to save the box, it got killed. You remember that guy? Remember King David was bringing the ark home and started to slip on that little wagon, and the guy grabbed it, and God killed him because he touched the holiness of God. So I'm not doing that. I'm a union worker. We don't touch boxes. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to touch the box. So if the church falls apart, it's God's problem. God's problem. I'm not helping him because, oh, God, your box! your whole box just about fell. But thank God I was here to grab it. No, he doesn't want that. So I'm not helping him. If he wants the thing to go to pot, let it go to pot. Y'all following me? All right, now listen carefully. In the year that King Uzziah died, this leper, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isn't that amazing? So, whenever a ruler changes, like he dies, and then his son rules in his stead, or someone else follows in his place, everybody's nervous. Will this be a good king or a bad king? That guy was a good king, but he did bad right there. And so, now what will be followed by? Everybody's nervous. What kind of a king are we going to have? And Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. He went into the house of God, and right there, he had a vision. It wasn't real. It isn't something that he naturally saw. But he had a vision of God being over this whole world. That God is bigger than the devil, bigger than the king, bigger than the harlot church. So big, and he loves me. Little old me. Little old me. He loves me. And I love being loved by God. I like God. I'm totally 100% in love. I am. And when you're in love, you don't see anything else but your beloved. So you're not afraid of the big bad wolf. You're not worried about anything. How many know that none of us are worried? Because we know that we have a God who loves us and cares. And oh, there's a few moments of our lives when we get weak, but some brother or sister come along and encourage us, right? Because don't give up, don't surrender. Remember, he who endures to the end. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So you got to begin, then you got to endure, then you got to get to the end. So I know it's going to work out. How many know it's going to work out? My beloved will come back in time to marry me. I know he's coming back because he already said, you're going to be my wife. Oh, cool, cool. And I got ready right away, and then where was he? And I was all ready. He said, when the bride hath made herself ready, he'll return. But the bride isn't ready yet because she didn't get her dress ready. She has to have her dress ready. You can't just come in a bikini. You have to have a nice dress. And it has to be perfect. I mean, it has to be perfect. And so Israel has to be part of it. And she's not right now. So he can't come yet. Not until Israel gets back in. And all the Gentiles have to be fulfilled, that number, whatever that number is. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Whatever that number is, it has to be full. It has to be complete. And God already knows the number. And so we're living in the days when the full number is almost in. But there's still a harvest. There's still more. How many know that China hasn't given up enough yet? And India and you know, South America and so on. So we got some more that are coming in. A lot of Muslims need to come in, so we'll get them too. And a lot of Jewish people are going to turn. In fact, the whole nation of Israel is going to come in. So that'll be good. That'll be a good sign. Now, God is waiting for us to be a bride that someone could recognize as not a harlot. You know, where the mascara isn't running down our face and where, you know, we look like a bride waiting for her bridegroom. And there's just a joy in our hearts because we're about to be married. And we're so excited that we're not going out with other guys. You know, we're not dating around. We're not letting anyone else mess with us. We're keeping ourselves for the Lord because he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And, you know, it's hard to wait and wait and wait. Where is the bridegroom? I'm all ready. And she could start to take, you know, maybe a daiquiri or She could just say, you know what, you know, he is late, and I'm ready, and he's not here. And so she could just relax and say, you know, another martini for me right now. How about all the rest of you girls? Yeah, we're all. And so she might just relax a little bit there when the bridegroom has delayed. And who knows what he's up to. What you know, he should have come. He said he was going to come. And he said he'd be here on time, but I thought the time was now. Wouldn't this be a good time now for the Lord to return? How many want the Lord to return right now? About four people. That's good. And most of you want to get some more stuff done, right? Have a little more fun before heaven happens. what could be better than heaven? But you love this world. You still want your grandkids and your kids and all this, and you don't trust God with them. So, you know, you want to see it yourself and can kind of control the deal so you can have more fun down here. Okay, fine. Fine. Yeah, I know you're smarter than God. I know that. But, you know, I always told my kids that, and they always rebelled against that. Dad, I don't want Jesus to come. I said, well, he's coming. He's coming. And so Cara, the oldest one, said, I'm getting married right away. And so she did. She just didn't even finish college. She just ran off and got married. And now she has 8 kids, you know. So, you know, she kind of got hasty there, but, you know, that's her joy. Yeah, so she's glad now. She waited. Just hastened, didn't wait on Jesus to come. But anyway, so all my kids were a little nervous about that because I kept saying, this is the last days, we're in the last days, get ready. And it was like, you know, I'm not even grown, Dad. I don't want that. So they prayed against my prayers. I mean, they absolutely prayed against my prayers. God, I want to get married first, I want to have kids, and every other misery that's due me, I want to have it. I don't want Jesus to come back. Because young people are so silly, they actually believe there's joy in this world. They believe there's life in life. They believe silly things, that if you could only find the right man, you'd be happy. I mean, no, you're not going to find the right man. There is no right man. They're just sinners. So all you get to do is pick among sinners. Let's see, sinner A, sinner B, sinner C. That's all you get. And so I'd rather get one that knows he's a sinner and realizes, uh-oh, you know, if I don't have a God, I'll sin. I mean, know that if you're not submitted to God, you'll sin. Yep. I mean, if you just take your eyes off him for a moment, you'll be, you know, doing something or other. I thank God that there's troubles in my life a lot because it keeps me busy all the time, and I hate it. I want life to just kind of relax for a little while, and then I can sin a little bit. But I'm not even getting in my greatest sins. You know, it's horrible. You know what I mean? But God seems to know what I need is always stay in trouble. And that way, you'll always need me and stay close to me. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. So over this world is God. Over Texas is God. I don't know. Texas is big. God's bigger. Texas is big. God's bigger. America's big in the world. God's bigger. The world is big. God is bigger. If Satan is big, God's bigger. So, you know, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, more power, more glory, more everything, and yet, here we are, his bride, and we're not purifying ourselves. We're not getting all the sin out of our lives. And I told you, you can't get it done on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is just a mixed meeting, open kind of a meeting. You can't get discipled here. Discipleship is, you know, smaller group, house church, where everybody gets all the sin out of their life. I mean, I know there are people doing things, probably not in this church, but in the Fort Worth church, doing things that are bad. I mean, there's some that are alcoholic, still, you know, enjoying themselves with alcohol. Look, you don't need alcohol. I don't drink it. I can drink it, but I mean, I'm not into it. He's not against it. He just doesn't want you to depend on it. But I don't need that. I don't need music. I don't need anything to make me happy. I'm happy in Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I don't know. I think he means that. Now, will you be forgiven if you don't do it? Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I don't know. Just take him at his word. Try it. Okay, drink all the booze you want and, you know, mess around and have fun and do all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to work. Because you're going to find that it won't produce the happiness you thought it was going to produce. And it'll just make you anxious and worried and stressed. Because when you have a lot of stuff and everything's going your way, you get stressed. And people are after you. They're either jealous of you or hate you. You know, they don't like people to be happy. You know that there are a lot of miserable people. Misery doesn't like you being happy if they're miserable. So, I just wanted Dallas to know that. I mean, Dallas is bigger and better than Fort Worth. You know, I mean, this is where, you know, everybody here is trying to be a billionaire. But in Fort Worth, we only have a few. Of course, they have a lot. And I don't know if you know it, but we have kind of like equal. But it's only a few. Whereas here, there are hundreds and hundreds of families that are super well off. But in Fort Worth, just a few. But of course, they have a lot. So that's interesting. But nevertheless, the average person over there is just wearing cowboy boots. I mean, and with cow dung on them. And that's it. So over here, it's more, I don't know, it's more extravagant. Like our richest people in Fort Worth have big walls around their place so no one can see them. You know, so they don't want anyone, even a helicopter can't fly over their house, over their property. They don't want anyone to see what's going on. But in Dallas, everybody wants everyone to see how rich they are. That's amazing. Everybody's showing off. It's conspicuous consumption. It's awesome. So it's more fun over here because you can just drive by and see. Wow. Wow. But in Fort Worth, you can't see anything. What's behind that? And so they're more subdued over there. You all see that? And they just dress up like average people. They don't dress up fancy. But over here, it's more cosmopolitan. It's more sophisticated. More, you know, I went to the country club the other day here, and oh, it's gorgeous. It's big. We were the first group to go to take over the place. It's neat. It's big. The thing is monstrous. So it's just endless. You just keep walking and walking and walking. So that's the way it is. Whereas in Fort Worth, our country clubs are okay, but they're not like that. Look that powerful and extravagant. Oh, I love it. So God says, I'm over everything, and I got everything for everybody, and I don't know what you're working on. You know, what are you trying to do, make heaven on earth? Is everybody trying to make heaven on earth? Come on, I kicked you out of the Garden of Eden so that you'd work by the sweat of your brow and, you know, let me be your Lord. Let me be Lord. I want to be Lord. I want to have a small people if I could at least get some. And of course, he knows. And above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two covered his face. Two covered his feet. Two, he flew. So you only need two wings to fly, but he had six. So those guys are flying about. And here's what they do. And one cried unto the other and said, Kodesh, 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 or Holy, Holy, Holy. So that's it. And then it says, Yahweh Sabaoth. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. Now what does it mean? It means Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of His glory. So they're singing not to this King Uzziah that just died, or looking forward to the next idiot that gets into power, but they're singing to God. These angels, these seraphim, are singing to God. And they're singing the glory of God. The whole earth is His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The heavens belong to God. The earth belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. It's all His. And down here, you're just a steward. You don't own anything. You don't have anything. It's just a gift. You're just a steward of that gift. How many of you can be taken away like that? Your life, your liberty, your property could be taken away at any time. Not by the bad guys, but even by God, if He wanted to, but He's not going to do it. God wants you to have fun. He wants you to have pleasure. But what He wants you to do is don't forget the poor and don't forget God. So don't forget your neighbor and don't forget God. You can enjoy yourself, but don't forget. Always, always remember, don't glean all your field. Don't take everything you can get. Leave a little for someone else. Does that make sense? Well, I don't know. He never changes his mind. If God has an idea, he's gonna make it effective. And it doesn't matter what anyone else wants to do. I mean, we know people that are criminal, they don't care about God. They don't fear God. They don't fear Him. They just do what they want to do. But I don't want to go that way. I don't think you can beat God. I think He keeps His word. I fear Him and I love Him. I fear Him because whatever He says, that's the way it's going to be. And I love Him because what He wants is good. Better than anything I could ever think of or imagine. God's ways are higher, better, gooder. Not only here, but there. So I'm going to go with God. I've decided a long time ago to go with God. And you have to give up a lot of stuff. Well, forget it. Who wants it? I want to threaten this guy right here. I want to go right there and knock his gates down. Jesus said, I'll build my church, bridal church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against her. So she can not only mow down the harlot church and the beast of the world and the gates of hell, Satan himself. Hey, I tell you, that's liberty. I don't think we've gotten there yet. I don't think we as a church are yet mowing the place down. I don't think Satan is scared. They're not scared yet, but they will be, right? I mean, we haven't come into our full glory yet, right? And our purity. Because some of you still have a few sins left, and you can't go out if you have a few sins. Don't go outside. Don't go out. Don't go out to get all the sin out of you. Because if you're going to be a lover, you can't love yourself. You have to totally trust God and then love other people that don't deserve it. How many know that when you love people, you're loving someone that doesn't deserve it? I'll say it again. You're not loving someone that you love. You're loving someone that doesn't deserve it and will betray you and turn you in. It's just, so you have to love people that don't deserve it. Isn't that exciting? You're not loving people that are worthy. You're loving people that are not. Undeserving people. That is the kingdom of God. That's different. That's powerful. We're doing things that are mysterious to this world. How could you love that person? How could you guys are crazy. You're forgiving who? And so those works, men glorify God when they see those works because they think, you know, if that happened to me, I wouldn't be praising God. If that happened to me, I don't see how you could do that. And that's when they marvel. How can you rejoice? Ah, the Lord loves me. The Lord spoke the truth, set me free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I mean, I'm free from alcohol. I'm free from greed and lust and bitterness and so on. I'm free from all that. I don't need it. Why? I have everything. With Christ Jesus, He freely gives you all things. So this bridal church should know that and have that and experience that and testify of that every time we gather together. Say, hey, Pastor, you know what God did for me this week? Pastor, He is so awesome. And just brag and boast on the Lord. Not, well, I wish the Lord would do something. That's not a good testimony. Always give a good report. Well, I know a lot of people are experiencing the goodness of God, but I just want to say something. Don't say it. Be quiet. Just be quiet. Just listen to the good things. Think on things that are pure, that are holy, that are right, that are just, that are true, that are excellent. Don't think on things that are miserable and awful and terrible. Why? Because God said so. I don't know why and I don't care. They just said, I mean, or why tell other people anyway? Keep it to yourself. You want to be miserable? Be miserable alone. Why spoil everybody else? Do y'all see that? Yeah. You'll never hear me giving a negative report. I won't do it. I'm always going to have, I don't care what your problem is, how bad it is, I'm going to say hallelujah. Yeah. Well, Pastor, you don't seem to understand the gravity of the situation. I said my husband is a pervert. Good. Praise the Lord. No. He's a pervert, I said. I know. Praise the Lord. Love him. Forgive him. You know, but leave. Leave if he's really demonic. Okay, leave. But don't quit. Just keep loving. Don't run to something better. Just keep loving. Just love at a distance. No problem. How many know what I'm talking about? That's why we're different. Because we're in heaven. We're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. So listen to this. And these angels are singing, or they're not angels, they're seraphim, whatever they are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Wow. That's the world I live in. In this world, I'm having a good time. As a sheep in the midst of wolves, I'm ban, ba, 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 ba. And the wolves are just trying to devour me. You ba once more, and you know. And they don't like it. Ba, ba, ba. Did you know you could have a good time in this world? Because Jesus said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Always sounds like always. So that he deliberately sends you into a wicked world which has no hope. All the politicians today are griping and complaining, oh, Obama stinks, and you know, everything is bad, and it's all evil, and I can't make a nickel, and all that stuff. You know, all blaming somebody else. Look, it's not Obama. It's not Obama. It's you. It's you, the church. You're not the church. Why aren't you having a hopeful vision? Without a vision, my people perish. You ought to have a vision. You ought to have an answer. You know. And by the way, this year, Texas is being punished. Texas is being punished. I mean, the whole nation hates Texas. They're either jealous because they wish they had what we have, or they just hate us and want us destroyed. Well, they've done it. You actually can't have any precincts or whatever. You can't even go through your normal process because the courts now have all the power, and they've just dominated the church. Again, it's the king coming right into the church and taking over. But in political circles, they can do it. But here, they're telling everybody, no, you can't do this and you can't do that. And all the Republicans are just bowing to it. And, you know, it's okay. But it affects the Democrats, too. Just because one person, and happens to live right here in Fort Worth, one person decided to sue and decided to challenge. And so now everybody's punished for that one person. And now you can't even have your elections on time. In fact, nobody even knows anything because it's all in somebody else's hands. And a lot of the judges are Democrats. A lot of the judges are Democrats. And so they don't care. They're just glad to see us punished. Isn't that exciting? So all the Republicans are grousing. They're all complaining. I mean, I get this many emails just in the last week. And everyone's got a bad news. We were with our senator the other day and so on and so forth. I wanted to ask him, you know, hey, do you have a good word about how we're going to win and what an advantage this is? How blessed it is to be attacked like this. He didn't. He just said the same things as like, you know, let's get rid of Obamacare and Obama and all that stuff. And you know, that's not a good word. Yes, yes, I know we have to get the troops out. But you know how people are. They're pathetic and apathetic. They're pathetic and then they're apathetic. You know that. How many want to vote and you're all excited about, you know, the four dwarfs that are left? I mean, you know, it's just like, it's not that exciting, you know. And so I'm not even going to do it. And so let the other guy, you know, continue to destroy the place. And at least we kept our values or something. It doesn't work that way. Somebody should have a good word. Here's what to do. Here's what the issue is. Here's how we solve it. Here's how we get everything back. But you know what? It's the church. That's the problem. That's why nobody has a vision, because they don't know what to do with the church. And they don't know why the church is, you know, just messing around. It's because the church is in bondage. The church is in total bondage. Uzziah just came into the church and said, you know, I'm going to do what I want. And if it hadn't been for the leprosy, he'd still be there. He would have just taken over. But I believe I have a God that, you know, if I'll just stay like Azariah with his 80 buddies, if I'll just stay there, we can win. But you have to be able to have stay power. You have to have a good report. You have to be able to always have a good report. Hey, our God reigns. And I love that high priest stood there and said, it doesn't pertain to you. Get out of my business. This is God's business, not my personal business. I'm a trustee of God. I like that. He just stood right up to the king, no sword. The king had the sword. He had all the power. He had all the, you know, the satellites. He had all of the everything. Everything. He had all the power. How many know you can win without any power? All you need is Jesus. How many know you can win with just Jesus? But you have to pay. You have to pay. You have to pay. So let it go. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't need anything. You got Jesus. You got everything. So I feel like I'm winning. I don't feel like I'm losing. And I'm glad there's no leadership among us. I'm glad that people are just, you know, throwing up their hands. Well, what can you do? You know, it's just a sad day. Isn't it sad? Yes, sad. Yahoo! Put the bullhorns back on the Cadillac and let's go. This is our day. I mean, no, the best is yet to come. Dessert is always last. It's just save the best till the last. The best wine is saved when everybody's drunk and they're all, you know, drinking vinegar and they don't know the difference. That is when the best wine is brought out by God. Because all you got is water. There's nothing left. But Jesus can turn your lifeless water into potent wine, unless you're a Baptist. That is grape juice. But whatever it is, whatever it is, the poor Baptists, you know, only get grape juice. But we can drink wine, thank God. Amen? But not too much. But remember, it's a wedding. Woohoo! Now, are you having fun down here? Don't you love life just the way it is? Do you want to help God out? Do you want to fix things up? Or do you want to do what He says? It's all He's looking for is a church that will do what He says. All right, listen to this. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know what that means? Nobody can enter in because God's there. That's what it means. You remember when Solomon built the temple and he had all these orchestras and all these choirs and everything to celebrate the temple that he had built? And God filled the whole place with smoke and nobody could go in. God didn't want anyone getting glory except him. So he's filled the place with smoke. And whoa, whoa, let's not go in there. All right, alto section, back. The tuba section, back a little bit. And so he never got to celebrate this great work that God had done, which they thought they had done. You know, when you help God out, you want a little credit. You know, it's like taking the photograph. You know, everybody wanted to be with the senator the other day. I got my picture taken a whole bunch of times, but, you know, it wasn't because I'm anything. I wasn't even out there. I had to come and grab me all the times. I don't want my picture taken with him, but, you know, you have to. So, you know, everybody wants to have their picture taken. It's a big deal, so I don't know what they're going to do with it. But, you know, I got pictures. It's like nothing. But I just let Jesus work everything out. Amen? I don't ever toot my own horn or get in the deal or, you know, show up or, you know, get in there. Why? Because it's better to just go the Jesus way. Go the Jesus way. Be a nothing. He'll bring you out at the right time. Did you know that Jesus loves you this, you know, for the Bible tells you so? And so since He loves you, you're only going to get the best. Please, don't give a bad report. You only have the best. This is the best. If He's leaving it, then it must be okay. Anything He's approved of, it's okay. Satan's fine. You're doing a good job, Satan. Keep it up. I'm not scared of the Satan. Is anybody here scared of Satan? Well, I hate to go too far with Jesus because Satan will get you. I know there's a lot of people that believe that. Boy, I started reading my Bible and all hell broke loose. I ain't reading it anymore. Okay, look, if you start to live a godly life, you'll be persecuted. That's good for you. That's the best thing ever happened to you, to separate your soul from your spirit. You got too much soul in you. Stop it. You're not in this world anymore. You're a new creation. I'm a new creation. How many are a new creation? Old things are passed away. We're already celebrating heaven now. That's the only thing God put us here for. Otherwise, He'd just get you saved and then kill you and take you home. He left you here for a reason. To witness to others. To have a good report. To give them the hope that's in you thing. I love that. Whoever you meet, Ari, you just tell them, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you my story. This is what happened to me. And you should always be ready to give that report. Amen?
Amen?
Now, here's what happened. Three things. I'm going to quit with this. Listen to it. Woe, low, and go. Those are the three things. Listen to this one. Then said I, when I saw the house filled with smoke and all the angelic hosts singing holy, 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 then I said, woe is me. Ah, there's the problem in the church right there. You can't go until you low, and you can't low until you woe.
So he said, woe is me. I tell you, that's the secret to the church right there. I'm not a big deal. I'm not, you know, great. Woe is me. Why? Because I just saw the glory of God and everything down here that I'm into, I'm not into. Everything I'm worried about, there's no point to being worried. Why should I worry? Why should I care? Everything is going our way. Are you hearing?
Yes, sir.
You don't have a right to complain and gripe and feel sad and feel sorry for yourself and so on. So here's what he said. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. In other words, the Jewish people are unclean too. It's okay. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know what? The Lord is glorious. I'm not. The Lord is great. I'm not. The only reason I'm making it is because the Lord is great toward me. The Lord is holy toward me. If the Lord weren't holy, I don't have to make myself holy because I can't. I'm not holy. I'm no different than the harlot and the beast and the devil. But God picked me out and said, and by the way, he has no, it doesn't discriminate at all because he just said, y'all come. Because he's from Texas. He knows how to talk. And he said, y'all come. We got barbecue here. We got deer we've shot. You know, he's got it all. And so he just lets any riffraff in. Anybody can come in.
Amen.
It's just a big Texas barbecue. It's great. And everybody's allowed to come. Come as you are. Well, I'm not dressed right. Now, everybody dress right. Because God doesn't want you to dress right. He just come. Just come. Come on. And so God is opening the gates of heaven. And you don't have to worry about these gates. They can't stop you. Once you go with God, God will make sure you're going to make it. You're going to make it. But he wants you to be pure. So he has to send you through a little fire, a little trouble, a little difficulty. And that's what those other guys are for. They're helping out. They're actually serving God's purposes by persecuting you. Isn't that neat? Because if you had any pride in you, they're going to get it out of you. You know, if, you know, whatever. They're going to show you if there's any wicked way in you. You don't even need God to show you. The devil will show you. He'll get your pride. He'll get your, you know, greed. He'll get your lust. He'll get your anger. He'll get it out. Your fear. He'll get it out. So when you feel that, don't worry. God's not punishing you or bawling you out. He's just showing you a little bit of spot right there, a little wrinkle right there, a little blemish right there. That's all. I'm just removing it. I'm just taking off the cancer that's on your face. I'm not doing anything that hurts you. It hurts for a moment, yes, but it'll be fine. How many can trust God? You know, just don't ever, ever, ever imagine that your life isn't glorious. Everything is going your way. You are not going to be someday. You are already His beloved. You are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are already blessed beyond measure. Say it, I am. Now, you don't see it, but you don't have to see it to believe it. The next one, here's what he says. For my eyes, the reason I'm saying woe, is mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And that is just singular. Then flew one of the seraphim to me with a live coal in his mouth, which he'd taken from the tongs, with tongs, from the altar. And he put it, he laid it on my mouth, and he said, lo. So now he said, woe. Now the angel said, lo. This has touched your lips. And your sin, your iniquity, is taken away. Your sin is purged. Now, when you say, woe, immediately he goes, lo. I heard your confession that you're not God, you're not great, you're not glorious, you're not right. I'll cleanse you. I'll forgive you. So he put the coal right on his lips. Then, here's what he says. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? That's what the Lord said. So now, Isaiah said, woe. The seraphim said, lo. And God says, go. Who will go for us? And he said, here am I. Send me. That's you. That's you right there. Isaiah said, I'll go. I'll go. You said go, I'll do what you said. I'll submit to the kingdom of God. Now, how many are ready to woe, hear the low, and then go? Just as God said. This is the greatest day ever. We are going to win this city. We are going to see marvelous things. Don't think small. Think as big as you can possibly think. It's better. As big as you can possibly think, it's better. You cannot be depressed. You cannot be sad. No sad people. Go away if you're sad. Go. We just want happy people that are so excited that the Lord, when I saw in the year that the king died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. That's the Lord God. He always gets his way. So he's going to have his way with us. Amen? He's going to have his way with us. All right. I love you all.